And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU-FM, broadcasting to Hamilton at 93.3 on the FM dial, and the rest of the world at cfmu.mcmaster.ca. And as I promised, we have a special guest from far away on the program today, and that is Mother Agnes Miriam of the Cross. She's Mother Superior at the Monastery and Convent of St. James in Syria. Much of the population in the towns and villages around the monastery have fled and been made refugees, but she left the safety and security of her convent to bear a message of peace in the war zone that is Syria today. So every day there, she has been putting her life at serious risk, organizing ceasefires to permit the evacuation of civilians caught in firefights, trying to save civilians of minority religions, such as Christians and Alawites, and of minority ethnicities from harm, attempting to protect Christian churches and monasteries from attack, and promoting dialogue between the warring parties. So thank you very much for being on our program today. Mother Superior, can you hear me coming in?
Well,
good. We have you now. Okay. I know that you've been making waves. This is the second tour of the United States, and you've been discussing reconciliation efforts on the ground in Syria. Back in December, you spoke here in Hamilton, Ontario, to 150 people at Centenary United Church. Mother Superior, do you remember us in Hamilton?
Of course, and I have a very good memory of this visit in this beautiful church.
Well, there's been a number of stops throughout North America, and you've been to Canada, the United States, and I'm just wondering, could you tell us maybe who is bringing you to America this time, and what has the response been for your tour from U.S. citizens?
Well, this time it was more on an academic level. I was invited by a university in California and by another university in Utah. And this time it was more to study different approaches for peace building in Syria under the light of our endeavor, our dynamic of reconciliation. And I can tell you that we have had a lot of good acceptance of our point of view, and we have launched more than one program of partnership with universities to sponsor our steps toward demilitarization and dialogue, opening the way for a peaceful settlement of the conflict in Syria, always on a grass-rooted basis. We are not political. We think that before the political, the grassroots, the civilian should make their own reconciliation, and then the political will follow.
Yes, it's good to see American universities getting increasingly involved in peace-building efforts and demilitarization of the situation in Syria. And I guess you sort of summarized at the end there what you're trying to do in the United States. If you had to sort of condense or summarize your overall messages into one or two sentences, what would you say the biggest message you're trying to get across is then?
Well, I think that the biggest message is let the Syrian people reconcile and decide together with their right to sovereignty and self-determination what would be their future, and help them to come together.
Yes. You've been doing a lot of that, and we've been trying to follow events here in Canada. I know that there's been a ceasefire of some sort in Homs, in which the two sides appeared to agree to stop fighting. I was just wondering if you or the Musalaha movement played any role in the ending of hostilities there.
Well, we are proud to have always supported the movement of reconciliation that was initiated in Homs precisely with the pioneers like Father Michel Naaman or the sheikh, the tribe sheikhs that have been working since the beginning and launching this initiative. That's why we have been following all the steps of the diverse reconciliation in the in Homs and in the province. And to tell you the truth, 2 months and 2 weeks before the big settlement, we were with Myred Maguire, the Peace Prize laureate, and 42 peace activist of her network all over the world. We visited Homs and we had very good meeting, work meeting with the reconciliation committees in Homs, and we had the opportunity to meet the first fighters, rebels, that were normalizing their situation and thus coming out from the besieged ancient city. It was, if you want, the first fruits of these efforts that we can say they lasted 2 years. And also we had very good news about Alwar neighborhood, where since 2 years we are also negotiating, and I have been involved in those negotiations, negotiating a settlement where 700,000 civilians, supportive environment for the opposition, are more and more willing to enter in a reconciliation process to pass to a normal civilian life.
Yes.
So things are evolving.
It's good to see some of these efforts bear fruit. Oh, for those that are just tuning in, we are speaking with Mother Agnes Miriam of the Cross, Mother Superior at the Monastery and Convent of St. James in Syria. And she's on a tour of North America. She's in the United States on her second tour right now. And it's very interesting what happened with the Homs there. A lot of this is very new to us as far as news goes. There have been some efforts that we have been able to hear about in Canada for a longer period of time. For example, in April of this year, a delegation of the 50 or so international dignitaries made that pilgrimage of peace to Syria, and that included at least 2 Canadians. I know you were a sponsor of this pilgrimage of peace. Could you tell us more about what this pilgrimage did while in Syria?
Well, it would be the second peace visit to Syria. The first one we organized it last year in May 2013, and Myred Maguire, it was her first visit to Syria, came with 16 peace activists from United States, Canada, Ireland, and Australia, and other places. This year, we called it a peace pilgrimage. It was launched by the Syrian British club in London. And this time we had 42 peace activists. A lot were coming from Eastern countries, like, first of all, the Western countries. Of course, you had Great Britain, Ireland, Canada, United States, Australia, but also Germany and Iran, Pakistan, and Lebanon. So all those people were eager to know more about the Syrian situation and to build a network or to consolidate a network to support the efforts and the achievements of reconciliation in Syria.
Yes. That took a considerable degree of organizing to make that happen. There had to be a lot of coordination internationally. Now, there is something I've I've been reading about in the newspapers. You see this in the newspapers a lot now in North America, perhaps where you are. It wasn't too long ago that the Christian Science Monitor called for the United States to establish an aid corridor along one or more borders there in Syria. And I'm just wondering, what is your view of a U.S.-enforced air corridor? Would that require a no-fly zone as in Libya?
Yes. I think that they are politicizing the issue of refugees. And you know that a no-fly zone cannot be implemented without a war, without a military intervention. So to ask for a humanitarian corridor is a kind of motivating a military intervention. We are against any more intervention inside Syria because all the intervention that were intended or they were supported by outside countries have produced a total destruction of the country, the Syrian state infrastructure, the cultural heritage, and the religious heritage. Second, of course, they have produced a lot of deaths and a lot of injuries. And it's not true to say that it is only one side that is producing all this disaster. When there is a conflict, both sides are equally responsible. So we are for a demilitarization, and we are especially for the return and the resettlement of all the refugees and to stop using them as a tool of propaganda to implement a war inside Syria. We are to stop foreign intervention in Syria and to let the Syrian people resolve their problems together. And you know that today the general mood of the Syrian population is to deny the or to be against the foreign fighters and any foreign intervention and to try to reconcile and to decide together what will be their future. I can tell you that this is the general mood in Syria. And today, yesterday, you had in the Washington Post a very good article, well, good in a way, because it was saying 75% of the truth, why the Free Syrian Army are stopping the fight. One thing they didn't say in this survey in the Washington Post is that the Free Syrian Army, as well as the interior opposition, is more and more against the intervention and the presence and the action of foreign fighters and foreign countries inside Syria, because this is the real cause why everything is being destroyed. A Syrian will never destroy its infrastructure, will never destroy its own cultural heritage. All this comes from a deliberate foreign intervention that is not seeking the good of the Syrian population, but just, you know, to bring it back to chaos and to destroy Syria. So we are against those humanitarian corridors, and we denounce with severity, with firmness, all these false humanitarian concern that are a kind of willing to ignite new wars, but under fallacious humanitarian reasons.
Yes, I know how hard many have been fighting against an escalation, particularly by the United States, a foreign escalation of the situation in the last 5 or 6 months, especially in the last months of 2013. There was the attempt to escalate the situation. But of course, the refugee situation, as you point out, in Syria is quite devastating. Many people have been made refugees in their own country or in nearby countries. And there is a lot of suffering, and a lot of people are aware of the suffering. I know that in Canada and the U.S., there are a lot of efforts to send aid to Syria or to Syrian refugees. And I'm just wondering, if Canadians want to see aid delivered to Syria, what do you think the best way to do that is?
Well, for us, we always would like to orient aids toward the interior of Syria, because we want, and all the Syrians, they want to be resettled inside their own country. And this is the way to bring back stability to Syria. So what we would propose is that there are two ways. Either you send containers, if you have people, to give you free of charge food or milk that we are in bad need in Syria, food, milk, pampers, or medicine, not less than 6 months for the expiry date. It is good to send them to Beirut, and then we can provide to distribute it to the people that are the most in need. Or you can send money, and we can buy on the local market the ingredients or the items that you would like to offer to the Syrian population. For example, all what is needed to constitute a food basket or a hygiene kit or medicine or milk for baby, because we are in bad need for milk for children. So you have the Syrian solidarity your donations, and they are immediately transferred to Lebanon, where we can buy all the things that are needed. And we thank already all the good friends that have sent donations, that have sent help for the displaced population of Syria in Lebanon or in the surrounds, and also those who have been able to help the displaced inside Syria. God bless you.
Thanks. Well, I'm glad there's so many ways to help. We will put out on the internet the ways in which people can deliver aid.
Thank you, my dear.
On the ground, we appreciate all the efforts that you've been doing. There's been a number of cities where there's been ceasefires being discussed and negotiated. There's aid relief efforts. There's getting the word out by touring. And you've been involved in all of those things, sometimes at great risk. So I just wanted to send or convey my appreciation on behalf of people in Hamilton for all the work you've been doing there. We continue to follow it. And I just wanted to thank you again. It's about time to go, but I just wanted to thank you for making the time there to be on our program today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
God bless you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. That was Mother Agnes Miriam. And, of course, as I mentioned in the introduction there, she's Mother Superior at the Monastery and Convent of St. James in Qara, Syria. And she's been taking a great personal risk to negotiate between the two sides for a ceasefire and for an end to the conflict. She came to Hamilton at the end of 2013.